Now.
What's up there, Sparky?
Blessed morning to you guys.
Blessed morning back at you, dog.
Captain Hawk.
Did you see this where Giants manager Bruce Bochy missed the team bus?
Yeah, they left him behind.
They left him behind. He declined the ride with Brandon Crawford. Said, no, I'll get a cab or Uber. You ever tried to get a cab after a game?
No chance.
Okay, so after the rally the other day, Pat Boyle and I had to come back. No shot at getting a taxi outside Soldier Field.
I don't think so.
Ended up walking from Soldier Field all the way here.
That's 3 miles.
Big time walk.
It's amazing.
That wasn't a cool day either.
And I was in my sport coat.
You were probably
carrying my backpack.
Why didn't Punk give you a ride in his limo?
Punk drove himself, man. But it was a good walk. Enjoyed it.
I'm not gonna lie to you. Felt good.
It's a long walk.
It's good. Healthy.
Get some kale salad after that long walk.
No question about it.
From the 7th floor of the Tribune Towers.
Boy, this has been tremendously tremendous.
Downtown Chicago.
Chicago!
Walter Stone scores! Beauty!
Come on, sucker.
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Let's get it on.
It's the Cap and Hosh.
Everyone has to do their job.
We're going
to
ball until we fall.
That's a shot and a beer.
Do your job.
That's the Hazleton way.
Let's begin now.
Yes!
Had to get David a pen. He keeps losing them. Welcome in to Cap and Haw on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus. He's David Haw, lead columnist, Chicago Tribune. I'm David Kaplan. Welcome back to Mikey Jacobson, our great executive producer who was off for a little R&R. Matt Rooney, who did a great job filling in there, is our associate producer. And Pat Costell, PG-13. Our great director. Morning, buddy.
Morning, Cap. How are you?
Good. So I went to the game last night with my wife and a couple friends.
That's great. It was a very fascinating night to be at Wrigley Field.
It was. And I'm amazed by the goofs on Twitter are upset that Channel 9, which the game was on WGN TV last night, they were mad that they were covering tornadoes that can kill people.
Well, let's get right into that then, if you want to go that route, because it was a night memorable on the field because of Chris Bryant's two home runs. First time a curveball from Clayton Kershaw was delivered over the fence in a year, and it was a great night for baseball and everything that happened on the field. But off the field, it was a surreal night in the Chicagoland area, and Channel 9, WGN, did break into the Cub game for over about 20 minutes. I think it was about 20 minutes where they interrupted the broadcast of the game and they did not have a split screen. And Twitter exploded from Cub fans unhappy about missing a regular season game on June 22nd. Mm-hmm. I know it was Clayton Kershaw. Mm-hmm. I know it was the Cubs. I know they're good. They're good this year. I know you love to watch Chris Bryant.
You know
Bryant.
What? They're one of the top teams in the National League.
I know. They're one of the top teams in Major League Baseball, Cap. There's only four teams better than the Cubs right now. You know what? There was a tornado!
Correct. There were multiple sightings.
There were people's lives at stake. As a newsroom, as a news organization.
Right. Channel 9 is not a sports station.
WGN.
This isn't
made
like
the right
CSN.
Call. They have an obligation and a responsibility to everyone in their viewing area, mm-hmm. and I commend them for doing the right thing.
They did the right thing.
And they have also one of the most trusted meteorologists
in
Chicago
was,
media history.
You know that he was voted the most trusted name in the history of Chicago
yes.
TV. I thought that was me, but I guess it isn't.
Close. You were 347th,
yeah.
But I think that you were right there. You have Tom Skilling, and you also have some very serious things going on. Look, pay attention to what happened. Every station in town was covering this in the way that it should have been covered.
Correct.
Do we get carried away sometimes overstating things in the news media? Absolutely. When you are covering a weather event this potentially dangerous to people's lives, where there are homes that were downed in Coal City, and your thoughts and prayers go out to those people this morning, everybody affected by that storm last night. You are a news organization. You have a baseball game, and you have a tornado. It's not a hard decision, folks. It's not a hard decision at all. You do the right thing. And after 20 minutes, they put a split screen on there, and they handled the newscast and the information with Tom Skilling. I saw Chris Bryant homer to left. I saw no commentary with it. I didn't need it. I watched it. It was fine. It was majestic in silence. I can't believe the reaction.
I was on Twitter. I wasn't tweeting. I was just reading it because I wanted to know what Madden was yelling about, what the WADA situation was. I'm sitting at the game, and I'm like to my wife, are you kidding me? You know how many people are upset that they're covering tornadoes?
Now, hold on. You're right there. You're mimicking the act that – the action that you were taking, like you're looking at your phone, right?
My phone, right here.
Weren't you really doing this? Looking at your wrist? Your watch? Weren't you reading Twitter on your watch?
No.
And if you weren't, why not?
I don't know if I have Twitter on my watch.
How do you not have Twitter on your watch? What's the purpose of the watch?
I could add that app. Hold on a minute.
See, because now you could do this. You could just look at, like, what time is it? It's Twitter time.
I do have Twitter on
my watch. Don't add the app now.
It's there.
Don't, but not now.
It's already there.
I know.
There it is.
I figured that. It's what the beauty of that watch.
Didn't even realize I had the Twitter app on here.
You could do this. What time is it? It's Twitter time. That's Cat Man.
Recent tweets. There you go. So anyway, yeah, I was amazed by the shallowness of some of my fellow Cub fans.
But do you understand it
Tornado
at all?
Tornado hit their house. They'd want to know if I was coming.
I think I've said what I needed to say about that, because I don't understand it. I think people have to step back a little bit. And even though Chicago was spared, you just have to realize that there's a lot of people who benefited from the information that Tom Skilling and every other news, you know, operation in town provided last night, and the coverage of places like Sublette and Coal City and in the outskirts in Morris. These are people that were relying on this, these people, to give them information to make their life safer.
Correct.
You miss a couple innings of a Cub game in
if
June.
One person got a notice like, oh, God, there's bad weather coming our way. We got to take cover.
You know what?
They did
if
their
it's
job.
Game six of the World Series, if it's game one of the World Series, if it's a World Series game involving the Cubs, I understand the reaction. I would understand it better than I do now.
Yeah, it's June 22nd.
All right, so we will, you know, if you have complaints, if you have experiences, if something happened to you last night that made your Cub experience traumatic, let us
call
know. 312-235-2525.
Hey, coming up on the show, Patrick Mooney, 940, Cubs beat writer, reporter for CSN Chicago.
He was there.
CSNChicago.com. Yep, he covers the team, travels with them. We'll ask him what type of deal they could possibly be perusing.
Because that's all we have to talk about, are deals. Because the Cubs aren't having any fun.
Well, Theo spoke before the game.
I know he did.
And said that they need starting pitching. That's before WADA left with an injury.
They needed it before. They need it more now.
Yeah. Eddie Olczyk will be in our studio. The great Edzo. 9:55. He'll be in for an hour. We'll wrap up the Blackhawks season, talk some hockey and some other stuff. We always have fun with Eddie. And then Lance McAllister, host at WLW and ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati, about Pete Rose. Follow him at Lance McAllister.
Bad day for Pete Rose.
And again, I'd still vote for him. Yeah. Phil Rogers last night on Sports Talk Live,
He
has a vote. I said, okay, you learned this today. Stunned? No. If he comes up for a vote, would you vote for him? He said yes.
Well, I don't think anybody could be stunned by this revelation, because if you thought that he didn't bet during his playing career, I think you're a little naive.
Right.
So this just confirmed what he was lying about. The thing that bothers, I think, people is that he was lying about it for so long. And you want to sort of penalize him for lying for so long and being in denial or trying to get people to believe what
was conceivable.
Well,
he was player manager when these allegations came up. So maybe he,
that
semantics.
That's the way he justified it in his head.
Like, I did not have sexual relations with that woman because he considered sex to be something else.
Is that exactly where your mind went? You heard Pete Rose and then you went straight to
I'm just thinking
Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky?
Semantics.
Yeah. I thought about Bill. It was kind of like Bill Clinton saying he didn't inhale.
Correct.
Okay. Come on.
That's, get high? I didn't inhale.
Yeah, that's a little
come
bit.
On,
you're splitting hairs here.
Just admit it.
It's inconceivable. But I don't think Pete Rose. I don't think Pete Rose is sorry for anything. And I think he probably did bet as a player. Come on. Faye Vincent said in USA Today, you really think that he didn't? Did his gambling just start when he was a manager? I don't know.
White Sox had a 2-1 lead last night.
Enjoy it.
That plan is moot. 13-2. They get destroyed by the Twins. I was going through Mikey's notes this morning, laying in bed, reading, and They've been outscored, what is it, Mike, 44-10? 44-10 in their games against the Twins, who at the start of the year, if you'd gone up to every Sox fan and said,
every one of them,
who's going to have a better team, the Twins or the White Sox, there would have been 100% go, oh, we'll kill the Twins.
They're like the Piranhas again. The Sox are very sad to watch. Oof. They have, you know, they get 2 out of 3 over the weekend. You think, okay, maybe they've turned a corner. And then John Danks, 5 earned runs on 9 hits. You know, you have John Danks struggling mightily in their rotation at the major league level. And you got Eric Johnson, who is their minor league, I think it's the International League pitcher of the week or the month. He's really on a nice run down there. At what point do you consider seeing what you've got in him again, giving him another chance to prove himself at the major league level?
I think you got to start dealing. I said this with Steve Cochran this morning. Unless there's someone out there that is my long-term answer at manager, Buddy Black, Ozzy, Ron Gardenhire, whoever, you, somebody. If that's the way you look at it, you go, that's our guy and we want him for the next 5 to 10 years, then go make the move. If not, I don't fire Robin Ventura.
Oh, you've been coming around a little bit, huh?
I don't know what you gain. If there's not someone out there you want to hire right now, this is a bad baseball team.
I said
team.
That. When did I say that? When did I plant that thought in your head? Last week? Yesterday? I don't know. When was it?
You said that last week.
Okay.
And you're right.
But the thing is, though, Cap, that doesn't necessarily endorse the job that Robin Ventura is doing as much as it acknowledges, you know what? They should have done it 6 weeks ago. They should have done it a month ago.
What, whacked him?
Yeah. I mean, if they wanted to salvage this year, that was the time to do it.
But it wasn't salvaging anything. It's a bad team.
Well, okay, you
first
can say that
you
now.
Make
you know
tonight,
that now.
Gordon Beckham starts at shortstop.
Yes,
tonight.
You've got to bench Alexei.
Got to get
what
this guy off
him?
A short.
As good as last season was, this season has been that disappointing.
Alexei, sorry, buddy.
Take
Gordon,
a seat.
Move over. You're going to play short.
Oh, you're going to love these texts, Cap. Oh, my gosh.
We'll get to them. 312-235-2525.
708. WGN could have scrolled the weather at the bottom of the screen. If I wanted to watch the weather, I have 500 other channels.
Yeah, if you lived in Coal City, you want to know what's coming your way. Thank God there's only minor injuries. 312-235-2525. It's Kevin Hall. We'll be right back on WGN Plus and Comcast SportsNet.
It's Cap and Haw.
Driven in the air out into deep right. Quinn goes back on and it is gone. That's a two-run homer. Chris Bryant just snapped an 0 for 15 in the ninth. Oh my. He's going to hit his second. Gone.
It's a game of peaks and valleys, and I was on a valley, and you know, I just went into the game telling myself I'm due for a big game, and I got it. So you just always got to think that way in this game. It's crazy. I mean, it's so easy to get down on yourself, but, you know, those are the types of runs that make you the type of player you're going to be. So I'm glad I came out of it tonight.
Chris Bryant, after going yard against Clayton Kershaw, and how about this stat from Elias? That was the first home run on a curveball Kershaw's given up all year. First oppo of Chris Bryant's career.
His 10th, or his 9th of the season, his 10th would come later.
This and is Cap and Hall, by the way, Comcast Sports at WGN Plus.
It just reinforces how much confidence you have in his plate presence and his ability to get through a tough stretch. He was over his last 14 prior to the home run, struggled in Minnesota. You know, you start to think, okay, this is a time where he starts to hit that wall a little bit. They start to figure him out, and he has a big night last night in a game that's pretty memorable because you go up against Clayton Kershaw, and those are the ones, those are the at-bats that, you know, make an impression. And these are the wins in the series that start to make an impression. The Cubs have a big stretch here, and they have the Cardinals coming up at the end of the week. They have the Dodgers now. Cap, you look at the standings, the Cubs are better than the Dodgers right now.
Yeah.
You look at the standings, and there's only two teams in the National League better than them.
Yeah, and they're both in our division.
And there's only two teams in the American League better than them. What's going on here?
Pretty amazing.
I mean, it really is pretty amazing.
It's
when
starting
you consider-
to feel like I've been around 84, 89, 98, 03, and broadcasting 98, 03, 07, 08. This is starting to have that magical feel that I'm not saying they win a World Series.
Does it make you sort of get cautious to express that? Does it make you feel like you're getting a little ahead of yourself so far? I don't know because I'm not as invested in it from an emotional standpoint as you are, but I wonder if there is danger in saying you have something special going on before you even at the halfway mark. I think you want to get to the All-Star break, and I have every confidence that the Cubs will. I mean, this looks sustainable.
Yeah, this could jump the tracks. But
it could.
But it certainly looks like and feels like one of those types of seasons where they're going to be around all year.
Well, last night, a promising sign besides Chris Bryant, which you think is going to he's going to be there all year, the bullpen. When WADA went down with the shoulder tightness or injury, we don't know the extent of
correct,
that.
Cramping.
The bullpen steps in. Travis Wood, very good. You saw the rest of the bullpen do their jobs in a way that, you know, they hadn't always done. And I thought it raised some questions about them, but I think that was encouraging. You have so many other things to get excited about. You have Joe Maddon setting the right tone. How about when he got under Kershaw's skin when he put the game under protest because of the light situation?
Well, I loved it because I was sitting like behind home plate just off like one section.
I didn't see
Cubs
you.
Dugout.
I didn't see you in the
PG-13 saw
didn't
me.
I guess I missed you then.
Pat saw me.
Well, he was there.
He saw me on the big
board.
He
has a trained eye. I have an untrained eye.
So
I'm watching the ball.
I'm watching Kershaw, and he's hot. He does not like what Maddon's doing.
Was he
doing.
Talking? Could you tell that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it looked like a television.
This is BS, is what he was saying.
Do you think that it affected his composure?
No.
He's a pro.
He walked Chris Bryant and then got the next guy inning over, no big deal.
I do like the gamesmanship of that, though. I mean, you put a game under protest and you know, it disrupts the rhythm a little bit. But you beat Kershaw at home, even though he's not been the Kershaw that you're used to seeing this season, it still means something.
Let's hear Clayton Kershaw after the game talking about that very part of the game.
Standing around for 10 minutes, my legs are getting heavy, so I wanted an answer. I mean, obviously I wanted it to keep going, but if they were going to wait for however long, just tell me and I'll go sit down, you know. So, you know, I don't know if Joe was trying to do that on purpose or what, but it didn't really affect me, but it's a good idea.
It's a good idea.
You want to.
But you can understand Joe Maddon's point, too. I don't want to face the best pitcher on the planet with some of the lights out.
How bad was it, though?
Wasn't bad.
Exactly. It didn't look bad, but I can't imagine it was, you know, it wasn't like you couldn't see the person next to you or you couldn't see. Maybe it was.
Mike said he heard it was 25%. No shot. Not even 10%.
What?
How many bulbs were burned out?
They had on the Twitter machine, I saw a picture. It didn't look like it was that bad.
No, it was not.
How about the sky? Did you get a chance to appreciate the surreal sky?
Yeah, I retweeted a couple. Nick Friedell was at the game. He took a picture and tweeted it. I retweeted it. That sky was bizarre.
Amateur photographer
cool.
Nick Friedell?
Yes.
He's very good with the iPhone camera.
He is very good with the iPhone camera.
He's a multi-talented guy.
He is.
Yeah.
No question.
That's good. What's he doing in a baseball game?
He's a Cubs season
ticket. Oh, he's complaining about the seventh inning stretch again. Brian Kelly didn't do a nice job, so Nick railed on that again.
Nick's
right?
A season ticket holder.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Pretty good.
He has a right to complain about the seventh inning stretch if he wants to, then.
He puts his money up
Brian
there.
Brian Kelly didn't do a very good job singing it, reading it, whatever he did it.
Whatever.
Well,
Brian Kelly.
There was a fastball down the middle, Cap. I gave you an opportunity
not
to
a
rip
fan.
Notre Dame.
I'm trying to take the high road.
Okay.
Not a fan.
Very good. But okay, so the sky, when you got a chance from your vantage point at Wrigley, had to be somewhat surreal. And you had to get a sense of, boy, there's something crazy going on in the atmosphere tonight because this is not ordinary.
Well, you could see the clouds. First, it was clear. I'm like, maybe the weather forecast missed all this. And I'm looking at the radar on my phone and out towards Dixon and DeKalb. It's red. You're thinking, oh, boy. And then the clouds start rolling in, and then those colors. It was cool, but it was eerie. Eerie.
Eerie. That's a very good word way to describe it. And, Cap, we're getting criticized on the text line.
Oh, here we go.
Stop being company men. If there's a tornado headed my way, the TV is the least of my worries. I could have switched to any channel to watch the overblown coverage.
That's not being a company guy. We don't work for WGN-TV.
But it's WGN Plus. Come on now.
That has nothing to do with it. I didn't even think of it. That has nothing to do with it. if your house was going to be possibly hit by a tornado, you could give a rat's tomato about the Cub game.
I get what you're saying, but if you were there listening to the same repetitive questions and comments, it seems like we love to dwell on tragedy. News is overrated. Okay, listen. All you people who are criticizing Cap and I, fine. Do yourself a favor. Go to ChicagoTribune.com. Look at the photos. Turn on any, you know, new, whatever. No,
just
don't,
go
don't
to the
turn
front
the
page. I'm on it. Front page, Cole City, houses destroyed.
Yes. Look at that. And then try to put in some perspective what you're complaining about.
A game on June 22nd.
Okay.
Crazy. 9 a.m. hour of this great show, sponsored by Apt Electronics in Glenview. A, B, T.S. for the great Steve Shapiro. Apt.com. By the way, our condolences to the family of Donald Featherstone. He passed away at the age of 79.
Okay.
Donald Featherstone was the creator, inventor of the pink plastic lawn flamingo. How about that?
Condolences to his family.
That's like a huge headline in the Tribune, dude.
Is it really?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then now suddenly I'm a little bit concerned about your news judgment after being on the same page for you with you for 25 minutes.
He invented it way back in 1957.
I bet you made a lot of money.
Millions.
Yeah, I imagine he did.
We'll take a time out. We'll get to your calls.
Yes.
Nick in Old Town is a Sox fan, but he wants to talk Cubs. Dan, welcome to the dark side, Nick. Dan in Rochester, Indiana, never got the game back on TV. And Mike in Wheeling has a managerial move. We'll be right back.
Now, more Cap and Haw on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus.
Carlos, not a bad throw down the left side. Wow. Lexi is just really having a tough time. Tough, tough board. Oh, man. Well, if that's two, and it could very well have been, Johnny Danks is one out away from getting out of the inning without any further damage. But instead, relatively routine toss and no chance at all for Carlos.
Our defense has just absolutely sucked.
All right, Hawk, that was pretty good.
Mercy.
I'll give you mercy. That was mercy. Pretty good. I'll give him credit.
He's right.
When he's mad, he's mad, man.
And
our defense has absolutely sucked.
Accurate. It has.
Brutal. Cap and Haw back on Comcast Sportsnet, WGN Plus, Eddie Olczyk in our studio from 10 until 11. Really looking forward to that.
Alexi Ramirez would be at the top of the list of the guys that would start shopping.
Well, you're not getting anything for him.
But you might get, you always say that.
Very little. Hold on a minute.
If you're the White Sox, you really just have to start with getting rid of people first, changing the air in the room. Getting something for Alexi Ramirez.
How much do you think he makes?
You are very quick to dismiss the potential of any prospect that isn't highly ranked and to overstate the potential of someone who is in the top 50 according to someone's rankings.
I'm not dissing that.
Yes, you are.
I'm talking about Alexi Ramirez.
I know that he has been very suspect.
He's 34 in September.
Yeah.
Okay. He is not a very good defender. Let's see. What is he hitting right now? Alexi Ramirez.
He's coming off a Silver Slugger season.
His contract, he's getting $10 million this year, $10 million option next year.
Player or team option?
Does not say.
Okay,
there's a $1 million
buyout.
But,
Cap, don't you agree that you have to try to at least...
What do you think you can get for a guy like that?
I don't know. But you have to try to unload him. You have to try to show a sign of you are trying to do something there.
I don't disagree.
And I don't know are you talking about a second-level prospect, a young prospect? I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be Baseball America Prospect Digest. I'm not going to tell you who the teams who would need a veteran shortstop have in their farm system to give the White Sox. I just think from the White Sox perspective, you've got to show a sign that you're committed to something beyond.
I believe it's a club option.
You're committed to something beyond the status quo. And dealing Alexi Ramirez would begin to show that you are selling.
Well, let me ask you something. If you're a contending team and you feel like you need to upgrade at shortstop, is he the guy you're going after?
You've seen it in sports all the time, Cap. Change of scenery sometimes triggers something within veterans that they are able to do things they're not able to do for whatever reason with the teams that they're currently on. You see it all the time. That's the nature of trading people. You know, so maybe a change of scenery will help. Well, Alexi Ramirez looks like he would benefit from a change
of
scenery.
Okay, do you know what he's hitting? 227 with an OBP of 249 and an OPS of 547.
Alexi!
Thanks.
You're not saying anything that I disagree with.
I mean, if you're...
So what is your option then there, pal? You say just keep trotting him out there?
No, I told you Beckham would be starting at shortstop tonight.
Bench him in his $10 million contract. Keep him on the bench. You've got to shop him. You've got to trade him. You've got to find a taker and take whatever you can back in return.
I'm just telling you, you're not going to get a lot back.
I'm not expecting a lot back. I'm expecting something.
Because if I'm a contending team...
I'm expecting a big, huge package of mediocrity. Maybe, but it's hope. It's something. It's change. There is hope and change.
I don't have a problem with hope and change, Barack. I'm looking. I'm putting Gordon Beckham at short because I think they'll be better defensively.
Gordon Beckham!
Some audacity there.
Whatever you get for this guy, just move him out. If you save $2 million, it's $2 million in your pocket.
Now you're talking.
Let's go to the phones.
All right.
Nick's in Old Town. He's first. Hey, Nick. What's going on, Air Sparky?
Hey, guys. Born in 1950, a lifelong Sox fan. 9 years old, my dad took me to the first game in Christie Park when Kluzewski hit two. I thought we were going there. 83, I saw Julio Cruz score and 05 Aircraft. I actually like watching the Cubs lineup. They got a lot of good guys, a lot of good swingers, a lot of good guys can handle a stick. To me, that's not blasphemy, you know what I mean? But I got to admit, I watched the Sox game. I go back and forth watching the Cubs. I think they got a chance if they get some pitching or some bullpen. But I really wanted to call to give you a situational baseball situation you guys could talk about.
Okay.
You got to let me go through the whole thing. I must think outside the box. Okay?
All right, go ahead.
Let me go through the whole first and third, two outs.
Yep.
We've all seen a shot in the hole between third and short. Shortstop on his knees, gets it, only plays a second base for the force out. He throws it. The second baseman acts like a first baseman. Bang, bang, play. The guy's sliding. Looks like he's out. Safe sometimes. Well, okay. In that situation, why doesn't the runner from first run through the bag? Okay? You eliminate the force out. Guy from third scores. He's out of the base deck. We try and score him. They'll call him out. Or they'll tag him out one way or the other. The point is, you eliminate the force. The guy scores three outs, clean over, but you score one. They always say if you slide, you lose a step. How many times have you seen that play again? When the guy slides in there, shortstop throwing, first base, second baseman, that's like a first baseman, it's a bang, bang play. If that runner from first runs through that bag like he would run through first base, that guy would be safe. Now you make him out later on, but the run scores. I've never seen that happen.
You're saying to run through the bag and knock the guy over?
No. The second baseman acts like a first baseman. He's got his foot in the bag. He's leaning towards shortstop because it's a bang, bang play to get the force out. So he's out of the way. The bag's wide open, just like the first baseman does.
But they slide into second base to try to break up the double play so he can't make the turn.
No. You didn't listen to the question, Dave. Richard's
okay, it's an elaborate question there, Nick.
First and third, two outs. First and third, two outs. All you need is one out. A bang-bang play at second base because the shortstop can't make the play at first. He's in the deep hole on his knees.
Okay, well, I see what you're saying. You run through the bag, you might beat it instead of sliding.
You might beat it. Now the run scores. Then he's on the base fence, you tag him, whatever. Inning over, but the run scores.
Interesting point. I think it's such a minute amount of times that would happen, but I get his point. Instead of sliding in the second, we don't slide into first, run through the bag. I understand. Thank you. 312-235.
Short drink of water.
25.
Let's go back.
A little eye drop for a water. That didn't help you there. Let's go to Dan in Rochester, Illinois. Or Indiana, sorry. Hey, Dan, what's going on there, buddy?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, enjoy your show. Really enjoy both.
How's everything down in Zebra Country?
Hey, we're doing pretty good. Doing fine.
What does that mean?
Rochester Zebra. That's our high school mascot, Zebras.
What a weak mascot.
Well, now there's a story, a brief story, and I'll give the abbreviated version. The basketball team, when they first started, somehow they had problems with uniforms, and they had to have something. They painted black stripes on their white uniforms to identify from the team that was wearing white. So they said they look like a bunch of zebras out there. And that stuck, and ever since it's been the Rochester Zebras.
There you go. Oh, what's up, Dan?
That's pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah. What's up?
Hey, watching that game, well, I was trying to watch the game last night, and, you know, I get it out of the South Bend market on a local South Bend channel.
Channel 57?
Miami channel, WMYSO, I think it is, or something like that. Anyways, I had the game on earlier and flipped it back and forth a little bit between the Sox and also the College World Series. Switched it over there, and I'm watching Coach all of a sudden, and it says rain delay. So I'm thinking, okay, it makes sense. They're having a rain delay. So I kept flipping it back, and the game never came back on. I thought, well, this is rain delay. So I was watching ESPN and watching the White Sox game both back and forth, and I see score scroll, and I see they're playing, but the game's not on. And every time I put it on my channel to watch, it's rain delay, and they never put the game back on. I don't know whose problem that was. I don't know if it was a WGN situation or the local feed out of South Bend, but they never had the game back on. I didn't know they were playing until I saw the scroll across the bottom of ESPN.
Yep, Dan, thanks for the phone call. I think sure. there's some glitches that were the technical glitches that I think we don't have the answers to. I think outside the Chicago market, WGN America is mm-hmm. what they do the games outside this market, and we're getting some feedback that they had some communication problems, and we're trying to get some answers there. But that would be a different scenario than the choice that people are complaining about, going to weather coverage versus a baseball game.
Agreed. 312-235-2525. Mike's in Wheeling. Mike is next. Hey, Mikey, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. This is Chris the Cruncher's father.
Oh, the Chris Kamka's father? Chris Kamka is the best research guy in the world and an even nicer person.
Yes, Mike.
Thanks a lot, guys.
You should be very proud.
Yeah, I got it. Here's my deal. Okay, you got a manager out there who maybe knows baseball. We're talking about Robin, but doesn't know how to manage. And then on the other hand, and Reinsdorf's not doing anything about it. On the other hand, he had one of the top three coaches in basketball and lets him go. I say he eats crow, gets Ozzy back, or even better yet, get Gardenhire and stick it to the Minnesota Twins.
Well, it's an interesting point. It has to be that you believe Gardenhire is the right guy, not just the best available guy, because this season's over. It's not getting saved.
Well, I don't know. You can't save it now. We're not
no
even
shot.
Near the All-Star break.
No
well,
shot.
You know, Mike, you ask a question that I think a lot of Sox fans are asking themselves. Is this season worth saving? Is it possible? They're 30-39, 10.5 back, in last place in AL Central. I tend to lean towards Cap's direction on this one.
It's just not a good enough team. By the way, your son's wearing a Cub hat around the office. You should know that, Mike.
You know, I'm ready to move to the dark side.
Come on over, baby. Hey, Mike, thanks a lot for the call.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay, thanks, guys.
See you, buddy. 312-235-2525.
Mike raises a very good point on the minds of a lot of Sox fans, and they look at this, they take a step back, and they see a Jerry Reinsdorf team fire one of the best coaches in basketball, and they see the Sox clinging to a manager who's the manager of a team that's been the second worst team in baseball
Brutal.
Since 2013.
Brutal. All right, got to grab a quick timeout. More calls. Eddie Olczyk in our studio at 10 o'clock. We'll be right back on Cap'n Hawk.
Now, more Cap'n Hawk on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus.
I didn't like the idea that we had to play against a guy that's really, 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 really good. And you have to see spin. You got to be able to read everything. I did not like the fact that we had to go out and play without all the lights on. Just be a little bit more patient and wait for the lights. That was my argument. That's it. Nothing more complicated than that. I just thought it was inappropriate, and I made my case. Originally, they said I could not protest it. Then we kept banging on it. Because you can't protest a judgment call. In my opinion, that's not a judgment call. It's not in the book. It's not in the book that the umpire can decide whether the lights are good enough or not. So that was my contention.
That's Joe Maddon. I listened to that live last night, and that was what some of the comments were. Clayton Kershaw, you heard him. He was not thrilled about it, but in the end, it was not a huge deal. But Joe Maddon, very, very animated on the field, right in front of me. It was pretty cool to watch.
Well, I think that he had in mind that he was going to get in the head of maybe Clayton Kershaw, disrupt his rhythm, perhaps. And in his mind, maybe he felt like that was the right thing. Maybe he wanted to protect his players. I think the one thing you like about Joe Maddon is that he's always been a guy that is going to stand up for his players. He's setting the right tone. He's making the right moves, Cap. His impact has been everything the Cubs could have hoped for.
And a lot more.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, this nonsense that baseball manager's worth a couple, three wins. He has changed the culture. I asked a couple players when I was out there, said, his value, they go, it goes so far beyond pitching changes and bunts and hit and run and hitting behind runners. They said it's just a totally different vibe.
Particularly when you consider, look at the rookies they're playing. Look at the Cubs are relying heavily on three rookies. Mm-hmm. You've got Soler, who's injured right now. You've got Chris Bryant. You've got Addison Russell. And you have a guy that is basically just letting them make their mistakes, letting them kind of – he's setting the right example. You've got a leader in Anthony Rizzo. And that's why, Cap, when I wrote this morning about Starlin Castro, I think that you could – if Addison Russell is your shortstop of the future, make the move now. Because you have a manager that's able to tinker in season. This whole season is sort of an experiment, right? It's a grand experiment. If he's your shortstop of the future, make him the shortstop of the present. And move Castro to second. Less of a liability. How much worse can his concentration be? Let's see how it goes. Is that crazy?
Yes.
Why?
Because
you're the guy who considered Castro, you wanted to change him midseason two years ago.
No, I want to move him out.
You want to trade him. I know.
In the right deal. I'm not giving him away. He's a valuable piece.
Okay. Well, we want to get some answers on the WGN issue, so we'll get back to this Castro issue.
Right. There's a lot of people that are saying, yes, we agree with staying with weather coverage, and there's others none too pleased today.
Right.
So we're going to get answers because we're going to have the general manager of WGN Television, Greg Easterling, will be joining us in just a couple of moments, and we'll get his thoughts. And
because a lot of feedback still
exactly
comes in.
What happened?
I think that there's a couple questions. Number one, what went into the decision to go away from the Cubs game? And number two, people outside the Chicago market, we're hearing from Cap on the text line, on Twitter, and a lot of other avenues from people that are upset because it was an abrupt departure from the Cub game and they never got an explanation. So maybe we can help clear that up, some of the confusion.
312-235-2525 is the phone number. Also, again, coming up, Eddie Olczyk in studio in the 10 o'clock hour. And then Lance McAllister will join us at 11:10 about Pete Rose. He works on the Reds broadcast in Cincinnati and does a talk show there as well. And we are also going to have Patrick Mooney a little bit later.
Let me ask you this. From a fan perspective at the park, did you have a sense of how serious the weather situation was outside of Wrigley Field?
I did because I was on Twitter. Other than that, I did not.
Do you think most people are as addicted to Twitter during games as you are?
I think a lot of people are on it. People around me were on it. All right, Greg Easterly is the general manager at WGN Television and the president, and he joins us now here on the phone line. Of course, we had bad weather in the Chicago area last night. Greg, good morning. Thank you for taking time. I know that was a difficult situation for a lot of people in the area. What went into the decision-making process to go to weather coverage to the degree that you did?
You know, it really boils down to public safety. I think we can see in the light of day the type of damage. At the time, you're looking at a system that looks like it could have produced up to 9 touchdowns of tornadoes, and we really had to put public safety top and up front and center. Tough decision. But we just feel like we had a responsibility to the viewers in the southern part of our viewing area and definitely respect that, you know, other viewers that weren't impacted the weather desperately wanted the Cubs game. So it was a difficult spot.
You know, I think people who are reasonably looking at this understand the spot you're in, Greg, and I think appreciate the decision that you made. So let's go through just some of the semantics. I'm sure things happened very quickly. But there was a 20-minute or so lag time between the time where I think you broke away from the Cubs game and the time where you put a split screen on there, which I think satisfied a lot of people. They were able to watch the game and still get the important weather information. Why did it take 20 minutes, and what was going on during that time frame?
Well, you know, first and foremost, our news department's worried about covering this story. You know, at the time, quite honestly, we're having discussions on the best way to inform our viewers about the storm. I did have a discussion with the Cubs and trying to find a solution to at least satisfy the viewers, and that is how we came up with the split screen that you brought up. Wish we would have come up with it sooner. David, quite honestly, it was an unprecedented night for us. I can tell you, I don't think we've had these type of storms affect so many people in our viewing area in prime time while we have a Cubs game. And, you know, fog of war, a lot of different things going when you're in the heat of battle. Wish the decision would have been made sooner, but I'm glad we made it. I think it was the right one. And I'm glad that we were able to get some important elements of the game in front of the viewers and still hopefully inform people about this severe weather.
Can you explain to, we're getting a ton of people on Twitter that want to know, WGN America, WGN Local, can you just go through how games are carried, who gets what, and if they're outside the Chicago area, how do they get the Cubs?
I think it's in the context, Greg, of we're hearing from people that were disappointed that they never got the game back outside of the Chicago area.
Right. Now, I don't know all the dynamics there those individual viewers may be dealing with. First of all, WGN America is independent to WGN Television when it comes to programming. That's a change that's just happened recently in the last year. So where years ago it was the superstation and all of the sporting events that ran on the television station ran nationally, that no longer exists. So there's still some confusion there. WGN America is now an independent cable station. They have their own independent and original programming, but it doesn't include our programming. So there's still a little bit of disconnect between people outside the Chicago market that do not get Channel 9. This year also, we have syndicated our games and offered our games to markets in the general Illinois markets. To run our off-air signal just to have those games available for fans in that area in the home team market. This is the first year we've done that because the superstation no longer has the games.
All right, so let me ask you a question. If I'm getting WGN through my local provider, I'm not in the Chicago area, I'm in Rochester, Indiana, and I'm not affected by the weather, there is no way for that area to carry the game and not have to deal with the weather coverage if WGN in Chicago is going to weather coverage. Is that correct?
Correct. However, I will tell you, you know, we certainly respect that we have to always improve. We're not going to back off that our job was to inform and protect the public last night, but we also do want to respect the fact there are people that weren't affected and how can we get them the game and do a better job with that. We are looking at options that it's a bit technical on how we can give them clean feeds off our satellite truck that is independent of anything that's happening on the television station, Channel 9. It's a little more complicated technically, and some issues are involved that we have to resolve that, quite honestly, just because of the unprecedented events of last night we've never had to deal with before. Hopefully we'll have a solution there as well. We know it's important, and we know it's important to people in those areas.
It's a tough balance to strike, Greg. I think people can appreciate that. Before we let you go, so as everything is happening last night, it was unprecedented. You're exactly right. I think that it's an odd confluence of events. What role did Tom Skilling play? Because he is the voice, and I think he's the main reason people do tune in to WGN to see in times like these what he has to say, what he is projecting, and his information and just his wealth of knowledge.
You know, Tom is our rock. And I can tell you, and I haven't had a chance to follow up with him today, and I will, But it was such a large event. I think at one time when I was watching, I think we had three different systems that were producing potentially tornadoes or funnel clouds, at least, and potentially on the ground. And it's going to be interesting for Tom to give me some feedback on that. I can tell you that there was no doubt early in the day Tom knew that this event was going to be potentially extremely dangerous, and I think it proved out. We were prepared to cover the storm, but certainly all the events with the timing and Murphy's Law, if you will, made it a complicated night.
All right, again, it's Greg Easterly. He's the president, general manager of WGN Television. And again, just to wrap it up, the decision was made simply because of your respecting everyone who's watching throughout the Midwest. They look at WGN as such a rock here in the city, and you were trying to protect people. And unfortunately, it compromised baseball viewing for some.
Yeah, exactly right. I can say I'm sorry to fans that missed part of the game. I'm not going to say sorry to someone who didn't know about a storm coming their way because we didn't put it on the air.
Absolutely.
Well
Greg,
said. Appreciate
thanks,
the
thanks
time,
for joining us, Greg.
Greg. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thank
Take
you,
care.
Guys.
There he is, Greg Easterly, president, general manager, WGN-TV. And I thought I'm not going to apologize. I want to have to apologize to someone because they didn't know a storm was coming.
Anybody just looking at what it looks like this morning in Coal City and anywhere else that were damage occurred last night because the storms realizes how ridiculous it is to complain about WGN opting for storm coverage. You can't look at that and think, boy, I missed a couple innings of a Cub game.
Correct.
Now,
here's my one thing with Major League Baseball that I'd say to you. I have the streaming package. I watch games on my iPad all the time, on my iPhone, like a lot of people, millions do. You can't get the local games. If I'm paying for it, why the hell can't I get the local game on my iPad if I'm at something with my
That's
wife?
That's a different problem.
Then you could have watched the game on your iPad, yes. Your iPhone, your computer.
Or your watch.
Or your watch.
Your watch.
And had it off.
Yes.
Been good to go.
Good to go.
That's what's got to get fixed.
Yes. That's good.
Thank you.
That's a good little rant there, Cap, against Major League Baseball.
Wintrust loves good rivalry. Who doesn't? I do. Here in Chicago, we've got one of the best. Cubs, Sox, Northside, Southside, Blue, Black, Cap, Haw. Put your money where your heart is, Chicago, and decide for your side with a Cubs or White Sox checking account from your local Wintrust Community Bank. It even comes with your very own Cubs or Sox debit cards. There's the debit cards, people, right there. There's Cubbies, there's White Sox, right there. Sox a little low on funds right now. Guess what? You can cheer for your team, too, by tweeting or Instagramming with hashtag DecideCubs or hashtag DecideSox. And you choose either online or in the bank. Help Wintrust donate up to $500,000 to Cubs and White Sox charities. Follow along online. See whose fans are cheering the loudest. Learn more. Wintrust.com/YouDecide. Banking services provided by Wintrust Community Banks. Chicago Cubs, Chicago White Sox trademarks. Used with permission. Member FDIC. Quick time out. Eddie Olczyk will be in our studio.